from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Welcome back into the show. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. My name is Carrington Harrison. We have three very special guests here.
Where?
You, Bob Fesco.
Oh, wow. I've never been introduced like that. Even my wife doesn't call me special.
I was going to give you a better introduction. You ruined the introduction.
Bob's here.
Special. I got excited.
Dusty's here. And we have Alex Gold here. How are you guys
What's
doing?
What's up, man?
Happy to have you guys come out with me today.
Yeah,
right?
It's gorgeous, man.
It's nice to have some Royals baseball that matters here this late in August, you know?
That's right.
Absolutely. Let's start with the Royals. I think Seth Lugo is the most important player for this team over the course of the next 6 weeks. I know what Cole Reagans is at this point. Cole Reagans is one of the five best pitchers in the American League. I think we all agree at this point that Bobby Witt Jr. is going to finish top two in the MVP voting and has a legitimate argument of being the best player in baseball. If they don't get Seth Lugo back on track, who over his last seven starts has a 5.3 ERA, they can't win the division. They could probably hold on for the wild card, but over the course of these next 23 games, they got to get through these three against the Angels, and then they have that 20-game stretch where they play all teams that we think are going to make the postseason. I mean, Seth Lugo probably makes three starts over that stretch, maybe four.
Four, probably.
Maybe four over that stretch. You need him to go back to being a positive for this team. If they get that, they got a real chance of winning this division.
What about Brady Singer, though, in kind of that same category? Because Brady Singer, we talked about it, Dusty, last week, where Brady Singer dominates teams that stink, and against teams that are good, he gets his teeth kicked in on them. I think Brady Singer's an important one, because if he's going to be a piece going forward for you, he's got to pitch better against good competition. And with those 23 games coming up, or 20 of the 23, against good competition, that doesn't bode well for the track record that Brady Singer's had against quality teams this year.
I hear you on Brady, but he's the team's third starter. And if you look across baseball, how many teams' third starters actually have been any better than Brady Singer? He's still been one of the best number three starters in any rotation in all of baseball. So for me, at least, I just view what I expect out of him differently. To C-Dot's point, like Seth Lugo and Cole Reagans, they were all-star pitchers. And for, 85-90% of the season at this point, that's how Seth Lugo pitched. But the last four, five outings, he hasn't looked like that. I guess I don't judge Singer on the same scale. Maybe I should, but I look at number three starters for the Orioles or for the Yankees and some of these other teams we perceive to be playoff teams as well, and their number three starter's not doing any better than Brady Singer. In fact, Brady's been better.
Well, it's also an indictment of how bad pitching is in Major League baseball, too, right? But I think with Lugo, I mean, I think you kind of are the back of your baseball card, right? And you know, stats do kind of pan out over the course of time. I just hope they didn't overuse Lugo, you know, to a point where he's not going to be able to get it back. That That's my biggest concern. Like, they've already got the toothpaste out of the tube with him, and because he's never pitched this deep into a season or this long into a season, is he going to be able to do it?
But, I would say that there are maybe three, like, overarching questions with the Royals. One of them is, has Seth Lugo hit a ceiling? I mean, we are speeding past his innings that he's pitched in a single season. So, has he done that before? A question that the Royals still need to answer. Can they beat good baseball teams? They are better than the Reds. If there's one thing the Royals have proven, if it is a team like that or Detroit, the Royals are going to win that series, and they did exactly what they were supposed to do against Cincinnati. And over the course of this next 20-game stretch where they're going to play good baseball teams, they're going to play a lot of 4-3, 5-4 games in the seventh inning. And their bullpen has dropped almost every single one of those for the last month or so. They're going to have to learn how to win those games.
Yeah, you say they did their job against Cincinnati, but, I mean, they did, but they did it at, like, an elevated level. They outscored them 28-3. Like, they kicked their teeth in. It was a murderer's row of a series. So, yeah, they weren't the most superior team, but they were still only one game below 500 when they went in that series, and every pitcher they went against had a below 4 ERA. The other thing with Lugo is it kind of reminds me of when the Denver Broncos were going for that Super Bowl run, and we knew Peyton's arm wasn't there anymore. And they played, I think,
or his Paxton, neck.
And they played like Paxton Lynch or whoever, Brock Osweiler, I think it was, for the final seven games. And then once the playoffs got there, like, all right, we're going to go on the defense with the running game and let Peyton throw it only 20 yards. Maybe that's what you do with Lugo. Maybe you give him a pitch. You know, you give him a couple days where he pitches, gives him a rotation spot off. And if that's the case, then you're leaning on guys like Alec Marsh to have it in the minor league system or what he's been doing if he can get back up. But I mean, Lugo's been your guy all year, and this is what you built your ship with to carry on into the postseason, and that's, I think, the way it's going to go.
If we all agree about Lugo and the concern, and maybe tonight's a great opportunity for him because it's against the Angels, and so maybe this is the reset for him a little bit, well, then isn't the answer Urshig then? If we think Lugo's innings are going to be cut back, or at least maybe not going to give you seven innings on a consistent basis, seemingly like it in the first half, well, then isn't the next most important pitcher after Reagan's and Lugo going to be Urshig?
I actually don't think it's Urshig because imagine that we're all on the same point about Urshig. He's the only one in the bullpen right now that I trust.
No, that's my point. That's my point, though. Like, he has to be that guy the rest of the way.
If he's not that guy the rest of the way, they ain't get anybody out in the bullpen.
I agree. I'm saying is I've already put him in the I know where he is category.
Gotcha.
They need James MacArthur to be really good the next 6 weeks. They need Sam Long.
Or this cat that's coming off the disabled list today needs
Schreiber
to be good. Yeah.
They need one of those guys to emerge. You can't have Urshig every day pitching the eighth inning. Somebody else is going to have to come into those high-leverage situations.
Like tonight. He's probably not available tonight if they need a high-leverage spot. He pitched, what, 30 pitches yesterday?
Yeah, but I mean, but you need to get these wins, though, Alex, because you got to stack wins against bad teams. Like, you shouldn't be in position tonight to have to bring in Urshig in to close out a game or to, you know, stop a fire in the seventh. This is the Angels. They quit in April, for God's sakes. Like, you should be able to go out there and run away early, you know, with this game. And I don't want to hear it's Major League Baseball and all that. This is the time of the year bad teams quit. We've seen it here, right? We know this is the time of the year where if you're not going to the playoffs, you're making plans for October, you're making plans for vacation, you're doing all of that ancillary stuff, you're playing out the string. That's where the Angels are right now. So I would be really disappointed, like, if this game comes down to the eighth or ninth inning and you have to bring Urshig into a high-leverage situation against the Angels. This is a team you need to take care of business with.
This kind of feels like in college football, or it happens in college basketball, too, that you got some big – you got Michigan and Ohio State coming up, but you got Minnesota right before
that.
Yeah,
right, yeah. Is this a trap series?
Yeah, you got to beat Minnesota. I mean, after this, they have four against Cleveland, four against Houston, three against Cleveland, three against Minnesota, and three against the Yankees.
And you forgot Philly.
And you forgot Philly this week.
You know what I mean? Like, we're talking about really, really good teams. You cannot afford to lose this series to the Los Angeles Angels.
But I think that's a good thing that they've done this year. Like, the Royals have been really good against bad competition, right? And that's why they're going to make the playoffs. Not because of what they do. Now, they've got to win games late in the season 100%. To secure that thing. But they're in this position not because they beat the good teams. It's because they really took care of business against the bad teams. And so, based on their track record, I wouldn't expect them to do anything different. I mean, as Dusty said, you're coming off a 28-3 shellacking of Cincinnati, and that's a much better team than this Angels team that's strolling in tonight.
I just think it's been such a great season that he said the most important player on this team is Seth Lugo, not Bobby Witt Jr.
But we know what Bobby.
Yeah, but if he's not there, he gets, you know, he misses game.
Like, oh yeah,
you know,
but nobody's concerned about Bobby, right?
Well, the rest of the
I'm
right.
always injuries.
like you look at all these teams in baseball. I mean, like the Dodgers, every pitcher's had Tommy John surgery. Who did Atlanta lose today? Their third baseman probably out 6 to 8 weeks. I mean, this team, knock on wood, man, they've been really able to stave off a real legit type of injury this year. Not many teams are able to carry that throughout an entire season.
Yeah, what's the worst injury they've had? MJ? Maybe?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say that.
You almost have to think about it.
You have to. That was the worst it's been this year.
Walker was on the IL for a
he got hit the side.
You know.
Yeah, but nothing. I mean, there's been no long-term, like, baseball injuries where this guy's going to go to surprise and take dry swings for 18 weeks before he can come up here and see a baseball. So, like, we've been very fortunate with that. That's another positive for this ball club. Like, no injuries on this team whatsoever to speak of.
Yeah, the analogy I would make, though, to the Bobby Witt Jr. and why I don't classify him is, like, if we were playing spades, you got some books.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have any question about Bobby Witt Jr. the final 6 weeks of the season. Like, he has proven he's a top five player in baseball to me if this team is going to be able to make up the difference. And I know you've been on the enjoy the ride, the roller coaster. I'm past that point. You are 3 games back this week. You have the Guardians playing the Yankees. I mean, heading into that series against Philadelphia, you could be 1 game back of the division with 30 games to go.
Yeah. And Minnesota's in San Diego.
This team can win the division. How do they win the division? They win the division by Seth Lugo bouncing back. They win the division because we go from Urseg being a guy that you can count on in the bullpen to them having two other guys that you can count on in the bullpen. You win this because Vinny Pasquantino continues to be hot down the stretch, or Deron Blanco continues this incredible run that he has had this weekend. Mm-hmm. That's how they pass the Cleveland Guardians. And again, this team has to prove, I think, to outsiders that they can go up against and compete against good teams. They have not done that consistently this year.
Because I think when you talk to, like, true seam heads about this team, there's still a lot of people that are hesitant on 100%. Them making the playoffs, right? They're like, well, because of the bullpen and where it is. And, you know, Ryan said something with us the other day, Dusty, that he said, you know, we were talking about the playoffs. He goes, well, sometimes you got to walk before you can run, and sometimes you have to get good before you make it into the playoffs. And he goes, or sometimes you don't. Sometimes you just make it in, you know, to the postseason. And that could be the case for the Royals this year. But if you don't take care of business against the Angels, you don't take 3 games from the Anaheim Angels, you're not putting yourself in the best possible position because it's only going to get harder.
Can you name 2 players on the Angels?
Rondon, and Trout's not on the team anymore. No. Pujols, is he still around? Like, I don't know.
Jeff
David
Weaver?
Ryder. Yeah, Jeff Weaver, Jared Weaver, Mike Socha, the manager of this team. Like, I mean, they went from an organization that you really could name a lot of people on to this a nondescript, like, why are you even here type of team.
We should do the Angels in the outfield thing tonight on the mound.
Yeah.
See if you know.
I actually,
Tim Salmon still playing for this team?
I actually think that the Angels are the most disappointing team in American sports.
Really?
Okay. I think they're the most disappointing team. There is no reason that you have Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout. You have not had a winning record.
We're the Lakers in that category.
I mean, the Lakers won the championship a couple
years
ago.
They won a bubble championship. Okay. Dodgers won a bubble championship. You could put the Dodgers
the
in
Bills
that category.
I would put the Bills there, too.
Why? They need a quarterback.
The Buffalo Bills.
Yeah. Buffalo is at least making the postseason.
Yeah.
The
Anaheim's
the problem is the postseason one time.
They
since
got an owner, and all he cares about is filling the seats. And as long as there's 3 million people in there, he doesn't care what's going on.
And unfortunately,
out there.
The best team they ever had, they got swept by the team that plays in this stadium right here.
The
so,
only time they were in the playoffs, and you know, in the last 20 years, it was a 3-game series. That everybody was drunk for. And nobody remembers.
It doesn't make.
What
any
do you
sense.
Remember from the Angel series? Other than Moose hitting a home run? It was a Friday, Saturday, and then a Monday afternoon or something. Like, nobody remembers that series.
It doesn't make any sense that Mike Trout has 0 playoff wins. I know it's baseball and not football. Like, you're telling me 1 year you didn't accidentally win a series and make it to the ALCS? But they are by far and away. I cannot, like, we say about Buffalo. Buffalo's problem is, well, we can't beat Patrick Mahomes. We can't get to the Super Bowl.
Who can?
But Buffalo wins their division. Buffalo wins playoff games.
I just view the franchise historically because of the 90s as well. Like, that franchise is a whole – they talk about just major disappointment year in and year out for the last 35 years in Buffalo.
What about the Mets?
They made the World Series in 2015.
That's a decade ago now. And they spend like $300 million on a payroll and go 81 and 81 every year. And then people think they're this close, and then they sell them a bill of goods in the offseason.
Fighting for that wild card spot right now.
What about the Braves, though? I mean, all those years they were good. They got one championship to show
that. I mean, they just won another one, though, like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But they, I mean, I don't know. Like, Buffalo is weird because, like, would you rather go to 4 Super Bowls and lose them all or go to 1 in 30 years and win it?
They don't have a title. They don't have a title, do they?
And they went 4 straight years.
Forever, you know? How did I do in those 30 years? Did I lose 100 every year? Or am I
Anaheim's worse than the Browns? Worse than the Lions?
I mean, that's Cleveland. I mean, there's no expectations. No, he's talking L.A., big market money. Like, you should spend your way into a win here or there.
There's no reason why the Angels have been so bad when you think about it.
Ownership. No, there's a reason.
Because basically all the other big market teams have been good over the last 5 years.
Yeah, they have a terrible owner. Look at ownership across sports. I mean, the Chicago Bears aren't bad because they couldn't draft. They've had bad ownership. The Angels have had bad ownership. The White Sox have bad ownership. Like, look at what we got going on here. We got an owner that's spending money, putting money into the ball club, doing good things. Like, how were we when Glass was running the franchise?
Let me ask you this question, Gold. Is this Royals turnaround more surprising than what Lance Leipold has done? I bring it up because
that's a good comparison. Yeah.
I bring it up because the Royals last year won 56 games,
and
right now we are sitting out here and they are 3 games out of the division
too, Dusty.
With less than 6 weeks to go in the season. And you remember, I mean, it went from KU was storming the field against a D2 opponent to Pat McAfee was there in a week.
Yeah, I think it still would be KU in this circumstance because baseball's added additional wild card spots since they were last in the World Series. And in baseball, we're seeing it here. If you still are fortunate enough to draft somebody like Bobby Witt Jr., who can end up being an MVP candidate, that along with a move in the offseason can kind of flip the script entirely. The fact that you have a chance to get in the World Series by making the postseason in baseball, like last year the Diamondbacks were the last wild card team in, they get to the World Series. In football, like, can't you just to get in the dance this year has to still be, what, a 10-11 win team? Just to even get in the 12-team playoff? So I'll say the baseball turnaround less impressive.
Really? Because I think, you know, in college now, you can just scratch checks to people where you couldn't do well.
Well, you can, I mean, in baseball, too,
yeah,
if you want.
You can, but, you know? But like
the Royals have very rarely done that. Very rarely played the NIL deal.
Right, but you look at a school like
first
Kansas,
time this year.
You could flip the script in Kansas and at any, you know, kind of subpar Division I football program if you're willing to write those checks and start greasing the palms of these players, you know?
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good point. I think all of us felt some sense of optimism about the Royals coming into
now. Missouri basketball turns around; that's number one in the clubhouse.
They made the playoff, or they made the tournament a couple years ago. It is not that.
They won a game last year.
No conference games.
Right. They did a non-con.
They beat Lindenwood.
During the thing, it did not work. It is just. I think all of us kind of had the Royals around like 75 wins at the beginning of the season. And all of us would have been thrilled if they had taken that big of a step forward. The fact that, I mean, they are really one hot stretch away from leading the American League Central heading into like actual football.
Yeah, I mean, they were 30-1 to win the Central in February. And they're like 6-1. And you said it. By the time we get to this weekend, they could be tied even if everything went perfect in the AL Central. And like they're only a couple wins away from being the best team in Major League Baseball record-wise. Nobody's going to get to 100 wins this year in baseball. So, the Royals are flawed, but there's no runaway team anymore.
I think it's also just interesting how expectations can change. I mean, you remember watching Mahomes, his first season, the first game. You watched that first game, you went, all right, we might have something here that could take this team to the playoffs. Maybe not necessarily a Super Bowl. Then you watch the rest of the season. You're like, okay, this guy can throw 4 touchdowns, 350 yards a game. Kind of the same thing with the Royals. They start the season off. They're a good team. They're a hot team. Bobby Witt Jr. looks like he's arrived. The pitching staff is, I think, what, through like quality starts every game for about 15 straight games. And then all of a sudden it got to the point where it's like, okay, maybe our expectations go from being competitive, having fun, to being a wild card team. And then we had Vern on the other day said, the hell with the wild card.
Yeah.
Go win the division. But you're 3 games out August 19th.
I think also, too, though, like with what the Royals did, like we got to stop talking about last year. 17 of the 26 players on that roster were not here. Like that, and that's why I was kind of bullish or bearish. I don't know what the right word is going into the season. I'm like nobody's here from last year. We can't keep comparing it back to that. They went out and they spent money. They added good players. They added good, you know, kind of, you know, role players around Bobby and Salvi and Vinny, and they're kind of catching lightning in a bottle right now. So I just don't think last year matters at all. They're just playing a fun brand of baseball. Get on out to the ballpark this week. This weekend series against the Phillies is going to be freaking lit, right? Like, that's a potential World Series matchup. 80s revisited.
100%. I think what I guess
Schmidt
is
going to be at third.
He'll be there. Brett will come out of the crowd and play too.
Joe going to be at second.
Let's go.
I think what's so surprising about the Royals is
Frank won't be here.
I mean, in all of our lifetime, we've never never seen the Royals have this kind of season before.
Yeah.
Like, they've either been the best team in the American League or they've been the worst team in the American League. Like, this year, it feels like the Royals are going to have a year in which they win 89 games and maybe lose in the wild card round. I would be ecstatic.
You're fine with that, right?
I'd be ecstatic if that's the kind of season. But it's just crazy that in 30 years, they have never had a season like the one we think they could currently have.
Yeah.
So that's why, at least if you're saying why were people optimistic, why were they skeptical, is we are literally, like, in football, we see teams go 9-7, make the playoffs, win one game, and then clearly lose to a team that's better than them. Like, I've been making the analogy with the Miami Dolphins. We've never seen the Royals be the Miami Dolphins. We've never seen them be a team that you think is going to make the postseason but has no chance to win the World
Cup. All the owner asked for when he made the decision to move up JJ. He goes, I'd like to see what a wild card team looks like. We're going to get that this year. And anything can happen. Like, we have been so spoiled by these two franchises that when they make the playoffs,
they go the whole way. There
are a lot of other routes that you can take in the postseason. Like, it doesn't always work like this. I know we're spoiled about that, but, like, there's a lot of teams that make the postseason that don't make it as far as we do on a yearly basis.
Do you think ownership knew they'd be this good this year? Like, if you did a lie detector test with John Sherman, you're like, this is what your record's going to be on August 19th. Do you think he passes that lie detector test?
No.
Absolutely.
I don't think they thought that. I think they're
going to
win. I think they're going to win 90 or 91. And I don't think anybody, if you got some truth serum there, and then actually thought they're winning 90 or 91. How could you? Seth Lugo, you know, Bob, you were mentioning his stats prior to what he was this year. I mean,
he was a reliever.
He was started for the first time last year. And the guy could have started in the All-Star game.
Right.
I mean, Cole Reagans, we saw glimpses, but we hadn't seen it across a full season. Yeah, like, everything has kind of gone perfect for them. And that's nobody has to apologize for that. But things, whether it's health, everything has kind of gone perfect.
About time we get something like that.
The only way it would be perfect, would really any better, would be if the American League Central wasn't as good as it is. Like, this is the whole division is a surprise.
Yeah, right. Like, if we were in any other division, we'd be in first place right now, counting down the days to sell playoff tickets.
Or at least if the Central was what we all had been over the last 5 years. I mean, 90, 91 wins would almost guarantee you the division another year. This year, it may not.
You get this last wild card that the Royals are kind of battling with right now. You're not even guaranteed a home playoff.
No,
game,
they're going to have to go to Houston if it ended right now, I believe.
I'd actually feel pretty good about their chances.
I wouldn't mind that.
Houston, I feel
Houston
good
to me is, I think they're the most dangerous team now heading into the postseason if they make
they're
it.
They're playing good, and you're the gambling guy, so you must have seen sort of like, you know,
well, in June,
not
they
lines,
were,
but trends or whatever it is. But they're playing great baseball right now.
They've won 9 out of their last 10, but they were in early June 16 or 20-1 to win the American League.
Yeah.
And now I think they have, after the Orioles, maybe some of the best odds outside of the Yankees, Orioles, and Guardians.
Right. So. And it's crazy to think that this team that the Royals have this year are 4 games away from the best record in baseball, which I would think that if you could take this entire, I guess, rectangle table talk or bar talk that we're having, if they win the division, like the AL, that should be the deciding factor of MVP. If the Royals were to outlast, outwit, outplay Survivor, everybody else in the AL, I think that should be your deciding factor of who the MVP of the league is.
Well, it's a shame they vote before the playoffs. It's a regular season award.
I think
regular season will be over if you win the American League, not the American League in the playoffs, but the overall best record.
Oh, best record.
You're saying
that
if they're
the
ones. I hear you. Because otherwise, I think the only way Bobby can win MVP, just because of it's voted on by writers all across the country, big market stuff, is if the Royals win the division and the Yankees lose the AL East. That's the only chance I truly think Bobby can win it. It sucks because there's plenty of reasons why it should be him, but I think we know how voting goes in this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I think the only way that the Royals, I'm with you. I think they have to win their division and the Yankees can't win their division. Even then, I still think Witt's probably a dog in winning the AL MVP.
Sure.
Just the way that the odds have looked this entire time, it feels like the writers have given Aaron Judge the award. And Judge has been incredible, so it's not like he's not a worthy MVP, but it just feels like this year they have decided that Aaron Judge is the American League
MVP. Yeah, it's not like they're giving it to somebody because they're tired of Mahomes winning the award.
No, reminds me of the year that I think Justin Houston got second place and J.J. Watt got Defensive Player of the Year, and Justin Houston had like 20.5 sacks.
Yeah.
But J.J. Watt had the fumble recoveries, the interceptions, and like the touchdowns. It was like, well, Houston had 20.5 sacks. J.J. Watt had 22.5, but there's the home runs, which are the, you know, the strip fumbles and all that sort of stuff. But
I mean, this is the best season I've seen a Royals player have.
Ever.
Oh yeah.
Best player I've
no question.
I mean, Zach Greinke in 2009 was pretty incredible.
This guy makes a play every night.
And in baseball, like they always talk about it being a game of failure. It is surprising when Witt doesn't get on base. It is surprising when he doesn't get
it.
When he goes up there, like you always say, hey, you know, you take a little bit longer to go to the concession stand, like, You will miss something special if you go do something while Bobby Witt Jr. is on the
It's crazy. You will miss something. You do not want to miss his at-bats, and you really don't want to miss him playing defense either. You know, he's making spectacular plays.
So, not to bring it up into gambling again, but the fact that tonight, to get a hit, he's minus 250. You can't bet that. He's minus 250 just to get a hit tonight. That's how ridiculous it is.
That was Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Alex Gold joining us here out at the stadium. You know what? I'm going to give you guys a break. We're going to have our guy Vern.
Takes three of us and one of him.
Yeah, we're going to have Vern sit down. Our Royals insider is going to join us on the other side. We're talking Royals in the 5 o'clock hour. I'm out at Kauffman Stadium. We are here at Kauffman Stadium. It is the fan day at the K. Keep it locked in right here on the drive on 96.5 The Fan. Hey, let me remind you guys that you can sign up for Survivor. I see the text line. All of you, you've never got a pick wrong. You've never missed a draft pick. You know who's going to win every single game. Well, there is a contest for you to prove that. All you need to do is email 965thedrive@gmail.com. 965thedrive@gmail.com. When you email that, you'll get an automatic bounce back message that will tell you how to sign up for Survivor. We got over $1,000 worth of prizes here. It's free for you to enter. It's free. So just sign up, 965thedrive@gmail.com, and let me tell you that if you lose in week one, I'm going to write your name down and I'm going to read it. I'm going to remind you that you're a loser. That's
first and
do.
Last name?
Government. Don't let me find more additional information. I'll tell you people where you work if you lose in week one. Because that's what y'all do when I lose in Survivor. Josh Vernier sitting here with us outside.
I was going to make a joke about how you always lose because it's become such a thing.
Yo, first off, Vern.
I mean, I believe in you this year.
Last year, I made it to week 11.
Stuff.
Okay. I made
but it
to
see,
week
this is how narratives grow.
Yeah,
it happens once, and this is what I always think of.
Just like Chargers dot. I picked the Chargers one time Mahomes' rookie year, and it just never gotten away
from
me.
That turned into a billboard.
It was bad.
And no coming back from that.
All right, Bert, I'm going to ask you the question I asked the guys earlier. I think that Seth Lugo was the most important Royal from them down the stretch. Now, obviously, you need Bobby Witt to continue to be Bobby Witt. You need Cole Reagans. Seth Lugo had a 2.17 ERA heading into the 4th of July. Since the 4th of July, he has a 5.36 ERA. This team cannot win the division if he doesn't get back on track. They can probably hold on and still make the playoffs. But if this team is going to catch Cleveland, and it is realistic for them to catch Cleveland, if you are three games back with 35 to go and you play seven of those games against that team, you can absolutely catch them and win the division. You need Seth Lugo, though.
Seth Lugo and Cole Reagans. Right, Reagans is pitching well, so his name isn't brought up all that often. But I think the both of them, they need to remain aces. Well, Reagans needs to remain an ace. Lugo needs to get back to his ace-like stuff that we saw over the first 3.5 months. But honestly, I think there's eight names, really, that this team, as currently constructed and with what we've seen over the past few weeks, there's about eight guys that must maintain their level of play if they're going to track down Cleveland. Now, I think they can get to the playoffs if a few of them regress slightly, but it's, you know, the big four starters, Lugo, Waka, Reagans, and Singer, Lucas Erceg as your lone reliever that is that must be reliable, and then you throw the big bats in the middle of Vinny Salvi and Bobby Witt Jr. Those eight must all pitch, hit, defend to an all-star level. Bobby, of course, must hit, defend, and run the bases to an MVP level. I would agree that Lugo and Reagans top that list. But until someone comes alongside Lucas Erceg and serves as a solid setup guy, until another bat comes alongside Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi and brings that consistent approach, I mean, you can make a case that Freddie Fermin's that guy right now, but push come to shove, I don't
know. Blanco might be that guy after the weekend he had. You need to keep him in the lineup.
He had a nice 48 hours. Freddie Fermin's had a nice 2.5 months. I need someone to have a nice 39 games going into the season to truly bring the kind of offensive threat this team's going to need if they're going to get through that riptide and track down Cleveland. Again, they can make it to the playoffs by just doing enough. Reagans can take a step back, and that can be offset by the return of John Schreiber or a healthy Michael Massey. But multiple of those eight, I don't see how this team overcomes that. So I agree with your point about Seth Lugo, but to me, all of your all-star caliber players, and I put Ursig and Vinny in that group, all of your all-stars must continue to be all-stars unless, you know, someone I'm missing right now steps up in a big way down the stretch, and I'm not holding my breath for that.
So Ursig is number one. He is the bullpen arm that you trust the most.
He's the only. He's the only bullpen.
Okay, yeah, I was going to ask you. So today he's unavailable for today's game because of how many pitches he threw yesterday. You would think that he's unavailable.
I think they would go to him for a big out. Let's hope that against an Angels team that's this bad, you don't have a big out.
That's what I was going to say. Like, if there is a game, especially with the 20-game stretch that you have coming up starting on Friday against the Phillies, if there is a game or a situation where you can tell Ursek, hey, we got it tonight, I hope that it's today against a team that is completely eliminated from the postseason. They are one of the five worst teams in the league. I go into this series. You don't have to sweep them. I think it's unfair to go into a baseball series saying, hey, you got to win all three of these games. There is no chance you can lose this series against the Angels. So you got to figure out a way to win two or three. And you would think when you got your two All-Stars going the first two games of the series, you got Lugo going today, you got Reagans going tomorrow, you would hope that these are the two games that you win.
Yeah, and while you're correct in that you don't ask for a sweep, especially on the road, I know they're at home. To me, I view this series like I did that Cincinnati series. Give me two of three. But if those two happen to be the first two, well, then I'm going to get greedy, and I'm going to ask for all three. Actually, it's not greedy to ask this team, a team 14 games above 500, to beat down a team that's a run differential like 250 runs worse than the Royals. To me, it's not greedy, actually. Once you get there, if you get to game three and you've already taken the first two, now finish off that sweep because, like you did in Cincinnati, we're getting to the point of the calendar where you need to keep teams where they're at, not just losing teams down, but remind the Angels, like you did the Reds, that you're not on our level. You know, to me, that's what hurts so much about dropping two of three in Minnesota. That's what hurt about dropping two of three to the Red Sox is because, even as I sit here, I still feel as if the Royals are better than Minnesota. I think they're better than Boston, but I can't say it declaratively because of what happened in the head-to-head matchups. I wanted to walk away from those series saying, see, even the Twins and Red Sox aren't at the Royals level. I wasn't able to do that. Certainly I was able to do that against the Reds, and I better be able to do that at the end of this series against the Halos.
Bill Cowher makes the point that in the playoffs, your weaknesses are what get you beat. If you're a team that can't stop the run, you're going to always get matched up against that team, and you're going to have to do it in order to advance. It is funny because even though we have seen, 120-something Royals games at this point, man, the biggest question for this team all year has been, can you do it against a team that's not the White Sox? And as we hit this stretch where, starting Friday, it's go time.
Yep.
It is now football season, so to speak, and not just I'm talking about with the Chiefs, where every game result matters.
Right.
You can't get too high about a win. You can't get too low about a win. We're talking about games against Cleveland, directly catching them, a game against Houston, who looks like they might be the hottest team in the American League right now, games against Minnesota. This team has played well enough to put you in a position where you can make the playoffs because of how they've played the first 120 games. This 20-game stretch can absolutely get you eliminated from the postseason, or it could make you the hottest team, the most dangerous team going into the postseason because of how you play.
Or you could be the best team in Major League Baseball at the end of it because you're going to have so many of those teams that you're vying for that crown with. Seth Lugo, for as many concerns as there have been of late with him hitting some sort of a wall and blowing past his single-season career high in innings pitched, look at Seth Lugo's schedule. His next four starts after today, it's Sunday, the finale against Philadelphia. Then he pitches down in Houston in that bandbox known as the Juice Box. And then it's the final matchup with the Cleveland Guardians here at Kauffman Stadium. And then it's in New York on September 11th against the Yankees.
That's a big spot.
Those are the next four starts for Seth Lugo. So not only does the team need to handle their business against the Angels, but Seth Lugo, if he is.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Searching for any confidence if the team behind them, the organization behind them, is in need to see him good. Boy, they better figure it out over this, over these next nine innings, and they better bank some wins going into that stretch, because not only could their weakness, which is, of course, their bullpen, sink them in this riptide that starts coming up on Friday, but, you know, if Lugo and Reagans, Waka and Singer, if that rotation isn't elite, that could sink them. If Bobby doesn't play like an MVP, that could sink them. Again, 20 straight games, not only could the Royals, perform well and win the division and be the best team in Major League Baseball at the end of it, they could also be on the outside looking in. You know, for as good as we're feeling right now, a lot can change in 3 weeks. The Royals can go from running away with the third wild card to being a good 3.5 games back of that third wild card. So, yeah, I mean, surprisingly, CDOT, there are a lot of new baseball fans, a lot of people in Kansas City going through this for the first time that weren't there in 14 and 15. And I'll be honest, I'm nervous of how their emotions are going to be over the course of the next 6 weeks, because it's going to get bumpy at some point.
100%. I made this analogy, and I think I've made it to you before, is Royals fans are about to embark in something that they've never really experienced before. I understand once you make it to the postseason, anything can happen. I don't think that this Royals team is going to the World Series. But what I've never seen the Royals do is, I've never seen the Royals have a good season, make the postseason, maybe win a series, and then lose in the second series. You know, I make the analogy in the NFL. There's plenty of teams. Basically what Green Bay did last year. Right. Green Bay went 9-8. They made the playoffs. They won a game. They then lost to the San Francisco 49ers. Everybody feels good about what the Packers did, and it's about building on that and being a better team this year.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to see that day-to-day grind, because even in 14, you remember late in the season, Ned's like, hey, something special is going on out here. I wish Kansas City was paying attention. I want you guys to come out here. And it felt like it took that to kind of get people on board with what was happening with the Royals and what was going on. I think people are engaged with this team. I'm going to be really interested if that means they are coming out to the park for these games because of how important it are. The Royals have maybe never had more important September games than they're about to have, at least over the last 15 years. In 2014, I think you knew they couldn't win win the division because the Tigers are better than them. They got, I mean, Labor Day weekend, they play the Cleveland Guardians here at Kauffman Stadium. Those are games that at least 30,000 people should be at for all three of those games.
Yeah, yeah. And I would expect that this weekend. I'm interested to see what you get the next three nights against Mike Troutless Angels Ball Club. But again, it shouldn't be about the opposition. It should be about Bobby and Seth Lugo tonight and Salvi and Cole Reagans coming up tomorrow, Michael Lorenzen in the finale. Yeah, to me, there really aren't many similarities between the fan base now and 2014. You know, it was just a, you know, it's not going to happen. You were always waiting for that other shoe to drop, but you're right. Even if the Royals make it to the postseason and, you know, lose to the Astros in the first round or fall short in the ALDS in the second round, yeah, I do think that there will be an ability from this fan base to explain why you're not hoisting the trophy at the end of the season. I also think there will be an excitement around the city because of the commitment that we've already seen from ownership. What they did last offseason, what J.J. Piccolo did last offseason, what he's now done in back-to-back trade deadlines, right? He won it last year with Cole Reagans. It looks like he may have won it again with Lucas Erceg this season. And you're not watching this team with an end date in mind, right? Throughout 14-15, we always knew this ends at the end of the 2017 season. There isn't that end date for Bobby Witt Jr. right now in Kansas City. And right now, this franchise is Bobby Witt Jr., just like back then it was Moose and Haas. You knew Moose and Haas were gone after 2017. Right now, the feeling is Bobby's never leaving. So to me, the good vibes, the good times in Kansas City should never leave either.
That is my guy, Josh Vernier, our Royals insider. You can catch him coming up in about 20 minutes as he gets you ready for pregame. We got the Royals and the Angels. You can catch that right here on 96.5 The Fan. You also can hear The Drive right here on 96.5 The Fan. Vern, man, you've been doing great coverage, man. Really excited for these next 3 weeks. And each one of these games, I'm telling you, man, it's going to feel like a football game, yeah, just because of how important each of these games are and how each series they have over the course of the next 5 weeks is so important, man. Really excited to listen to you pre and post game. That is our guy, Josh Vernier, joining us here. Keep it right here. You're listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. Welcome back into The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you. We are live in front of Kauffman Stadium. Come say hello if you're heading to the game today. Cody Tapp, you're the last one. You're the last on-air person that hasn't been on this hour, man.
I wasn't trying to avoid you. I was teaching my first class at the alma mater, UMKC.
How'd that go?
So, fine, I think. You know, as well as I can.
What are you teaching?
I made it easy. Where?
What are you teaching?
Podcast editing and performance.
Oh.
We're teaching these kids how to make a podcast, baby.
Hey.
So you want to come talk to them, tell them how to do a movie podcast, whatever.
For sure. I'll come do that.
My class time's during your show, man. It had to be a Royals game.
Okay. Yeah, I can do that. When's your class time?
4 to 6. We ended early today. Don't worry about that.
I'll do next Monday. Royals play at 4:30.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
They play 4:30. I'll do next Monday.
We can come talk to the class?
For sure.
Tell them what it's like to be a podcast host?
I'm happy to come talk to the kids over at UMKC. No, that's a perfect time for me to do it.
This might have been why I got denied when I applied to be an NIL sponsor. I applied. I never heard back. I was trying to pay one UMKC basketball player to be a Cody and Gold insider, you know, just like come on and like be funny on the air.
They wouldn't let you do that?
I just didn't hear back on the application.
They just didn't let
Some tells me now that I'm a professor, I'm not allowed.
Yeah, something tells I mean, you, I don't know. I don't know what the rules are anymore.
I don't think they do.
With this team. So we don't have a whole lot of time here, Cody. I appreciate the time that we do have. Let me ask you this. Are you worried that Seth Lugo has hit his ceiling?
I am 6 out of 10, probably concern meter. You have to be worried about it because he's never pitched this number of innings or been a starter for this length of time. I could just chalk it up to weird stretch during a season in which he couldn't get some outs. I wouldn't put that past. But they were giving him some extra off days. You know, they weren't skipping starts. But, like, he's had plenty of rest here lately. So, yeah, I'm a little bit worried. And I'm sure you've looked like everyone else has. The schedule's not getting easier for the Royals. So, if he looks bad against the Angels, then I'm worried he's going to get his teeth kicked in against the Phillies, the Yankees, the Astros. I'm worried, but, like, I'm not at a 10 or anything.
No, and that makes perfect sense. I guess at least for me, and the worry is, and this is my own fault. So I'm not blaming this on anybody. I've never thought the division was realistic, at least for the last 90 days.
Now.
The last 90 days. And then I look up and I saw the tweet from Eisenberg. It's like, wait, they're 3 games back? They're 3 games back and they play 7 games against the team that's directly ahead of them. You can absolutely still win your division. So now that my mind is just shifted from, I've always thought they were going to be the wild card team, but now that they have a realistic shot of winning the division, they need Lugo in order to do that. I don't know if they need Lugo to make the playoffs and be one of the top 6 teams in the American League. I think they've proven over the course of the season they are absolutely one of the top 6 teams in the American League. Can they catch Cleveland and play a game at Kauffman Stadium? I think that's a very realistic option. They can't do it without Lugo, though.
So when you look at the schedule, that's what really stands out. We always give the Royals a hard schedule. The Guardians start 3 on the road against the Yankees tonight. They got the Dodgers. They got the Twins. They got all those teams in September, too. Their tough schedule just comes later.
That is our guy, Cody Tapp, joining us on the show today. Man, Alex had to do 25
minutes. Easy work.
Minutes.
Easy work.
He had to do 25 minutes, man. Are you going to win the hot dog derby today?
I'm not confident. I'm 0-2, man.
Let me see what shoes you got on, man. All right, okay. You got on some.
I put on tennis shoes.
All right, you got on some of the Hokas? Got on some of them? All right. All right, I'm a little confident that you're going to win, man. Cody, man, I appreciate you, man. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same channel. Keep it right here. It's 96.5 The Fan.
This looks good. I like this one.
Yeah. Slick. I like the tight.
Kind of fitted ones? The fitted ones are way better because then you can put this on like a...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.